And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the words that I would like us to go to today are from the epistle reading. And I'm sorry I didn't get notes organized in the bulletin this morning, so you might have to write out a few more things this morning. But I'd like us to go to the epistle reading and consider the first part of this reading, but especially verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells within you? Wow, what a statement from the Almighty God to you and me, fellow believers, to affirm to us that He dwells within us. We are truly blessed to be God's temple. And you know, when you think about temple in Scripture, it's used in a variety of ways in the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament. Of course, in the Old Testament, when we hear temple, it's that physical temple that God directed to be built in Jerusalem. It was there that God's presence was seen to be among His people. And so we understand that temple very well. But then we go to the New Testament, for instance, in the Gospels, and Jesus refers to Himself as being the temple. Remember when He and the disciples are sitting there looking at all the splendor and the massiveness of the temple, and Jesus says, you know, tear this temple down, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And of course, that shocked everyone. It's not, how could that even be possible? But of course, Jesus is speaking of Himself. And then as we read on in the epistles in the New Testament, we find that temple is presented in another way, and every baptized Christian, every believer is referred to as being the temple of God, as we have heard in our text this morning. And so each one of us. But then later on, for instance, in Peter's epistles, we hear about the temple being living stones, that each one of us individually is part of this huge church, the temple that God is building by His grace. And we are each individually one of those living stones with Christ as the cornerstone. What a rich term throughout Scripture when we think about temple. And then for God to come to us and tell us individually that we are His temple. How blessed we truly are, dear friends in Christ. And so we think about this morning, and certainly in the context of what's going on at Corinth. We've heard before that there's great division there. There's really a lot of things going on that are not pleasing to God in terms of the lifestyles of the people there. And this division, remember, some were saying, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas. And so instead of following Christ, they were focusing on leaders that were among them. And it caused all kinds of division. The leaders weren't directing this, but it was the sinfulness of the church at Corinth. And Paul makes it very evident and clear then that we are all workers in the kingdom. And he says, you know, some plant, others water, but it's God who truly brings the growth. And so it's not about us, it's about God, but we are honored to be servants of the Lord. But it's very clear and evident when we think about this temple imagery that God is the builder. He alone is the builder of the temple. And so we hear Paul write, as God inspired it in our words this morning, do you not know that you are God's temple? And later on in this book of Corinthians, we hear your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you. And so this theme is just resounding in Scripture. In 1 John, John refers to it in a little different way, speaking that God is love and that we should express that same love if we have God within us. And he says, whoever abides in love abides in God. And then he says this, and God abides in him. Again, the reality that God dwells within you and me, his precious people, and to know that we truly are living stones, that the church is alive, it is vibrant, and you and I as believers are blessed to be individuals within this huge body of Christ. That is a great honor, dear friends in Christ, and it's not something you and I sought out. It's not something that we could achieve. It's not something we would even pursue. But it was God pursuing us. It is God who came to you and me and put us into this marvelous position through Jesus' journey to the cross that made it possible. And through baptism, through hearing the word, that has brought this to you and me individually. And so we now are the temple of God. We are part of his kingdom, and we praise God for that. You know, we hear in this text this morning, no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Very significant statement. There's only one foundation to this temple. It's not like there's a variety of foundations. There is only one. And that one foundation is Christ Jesus our Lord, which under inspiration led Paul to say, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so there is the foundation of the church. It is Jesus making that journey to the cross that only the Son of God in the flesh could do. It is Jesus who died but rose again, which only the Son of God in the flesh could possibly do. And Jesus has done it. There is no other way. There is no other foundation. In fact, Jesus' own words, I am the way, the truth, the life. Jesus doesn't say a way, a truth, a life, but exclusively, he is the one true foundation. And Jesus goes on to say, doesn't he? No one comes to the Father except by me. And so it's only through Jesus that we have this salvation. It's only through Jesus that we are included in his temple and that we ourselves become the temple. And so that's foundational as Paul lays this out this morning for us. But the real emphasis this morning is, of course, the foundation, but also, what do we build upon this foundation? Did you realize that we as Christians, we're in the building business, all of us? And we are given that great honor and privilege to build upon the foundation that the Lord has established for us. And so then this discussion comes up with Paul, as God inspired him. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, that's quite a variety of materials, isn't it? Some of those materials are very good. Other materials are not very good at all. In fact, a fire would burn them up very easily. And Paul uses that analogy in this text. And so here it's talking about what we present, what we teach as God has revealed it to us, and also how we live our lives in the midst of that teaching. That is building upon this temple. And so the question is, what are we building? And it's a very individual question because it comes to you and me directly, individually, as God's temple. What are you building? Are you using precious stones and gold and silver? Or are you using wood and hay and straw. And you see those wonderful materials of gold, silver, and precious stones, they represent pure doctrine, meaning that what you present to others concerning God is true to the Scriptures, which are inerrant and trustworthy, and that you're not adding to that or taking away from it, but you are presenting clearly what God has revealed to you. And also, it represents a holy life, living a life that would be presentable for the sanctuary of God to live. But quite the opposite when we hear about the wood, and especially the hay and the straw. And really, that would be adding or taking away from God's teachings. And certainly in the context of the New Testament church, the early church, the Judaizers were out there. The Jews that had become Christian, they wanted to hold on to their heritage and the ceremonial law that Christ fulfilled. It was abolished. Things like circumcision, things like you could only eat certain foods. And they were trying to add to God's word by demanding that the Christians of their day would have to abide by all of those rigorous laws. That's adding to the Word of God. And so that was part of what they were building, but it was very destructive and very divisive. I think we have to be very careful in our current times. There's good traditions, but we better be careful that we don't put traditions on an equal par with God's Word. And so traditions, I believe, in our current times are a way that we can build on this foundation, but it's not a good building if the traditions get put above God's Word and can actually push people away from God's Word. But then on the other side of that is what our lifestyle looks like. We're sanctuaries. You know, you think about this place that we are blessed to have, and what a beautiful place to come to whenever we gather as God's people to worship, that we can be in this. And what is this room called? It's a sanctuary, right? It's not holy because of the wood that's used here or the type of pews or the flooring, but this is a very holy place because of what it has been set aside to do, what its purpose is. And we're doing it now, that we can come together as family, that we can come to hear the Word of God, that we can come to worship God, that we can gather here in prayer. Now imagine if we would take this room and we turn it into a brothel or a strip joint or a casino. I mean, that would just be horrifying, wouldn't it? That would be so degrading to this place and what it is intended for and what God calls us to do here. Or imagine we use it as a drug center, not prescription drug, but illegal drug center. We have a meth lab here in the sanctuary. That would be so repulsive, wouldn't it? But be careful when you think about that. Because remember, who is the sanctuary? Who is the temple? We are. And so wherever we are, whatever we are doing, we represent God. We have Christ dwelling within us. The Spirit is dwelling within us. And so the question is, where do we take God? And maybe we find ourselves stumbling into those places just mentioned. And maybe we even get comfortable with that kind of thing. And have you realized how repulsive that is to God? And how destructive to our lives? Consider yourself. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so whatever you are doing, God is with you. And what you represent as a Christian, others are seeing God in you. And what kind of representation do we give as a temple? You know, in Galatians chapter 5, we hear about the deeds of the flesh, and we also hear about the fruit of the Spirit. But the works of the flesh are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and the list goes on. Now, are those the kind of things that we want to bring into this room? But even more important, are those the kind of things that we want to bring into our own heart, into our own life, into this sanctuary that God has declared holy as He has called you and me to faith? And so, you know the areas where you struggle, and I know the areas I struggle. But be careful with that, that those do not become friendly territories that you finally just embrace. Because remember, you are God's temple. Whatever you're doing, whatever you are saying, would you feel comfortable doing that or saying it in this room? It's always a good thing to think about as we go about our daily lives. But you know, the good news is that God has transformed us. We didn't come to this place by our own power or strength, nor can we maintain this temple by our own power and strength, but it's by God intervening in our lives through baptism, through hearing His Word, through those means of grace. And in so doing, God has transformed us. In Corinthians, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Isn't that awesome? And God is the one that's intervening. God is the one that is doing that. In Romans 6, reference to baptism, we hear that in baptism we are raised to what? A new life. A transformed life, because God now has taken us out of the muck of sin that would have destroyed us for eternity, and He has put us into the realm of His grace, and He has declared you and me to be temples, which is an incredible gift that God bestows upon us. And so we gather here this morning, knowing that we are free, that our sin is forgiven, knowing that we are empowered to serve Him, to be imitators, if you will, of God. That's really our calling. If you know, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? What's the purpose of life? I'll tell you, God makes it very clear. We are to be imitators of God in all that we say and all that we do. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it's laid right out for us. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Isn't that cool? Be imitators of God and walk in love. And now you think about the gospel reading this morning, turning the other cheek, loving your enemy, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. A fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So we are called upon to love as God has loved us. And that's how this sanctuary shines, this temple, in the greatest way, is when others can see Christ's love within us, in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we express it through our words. In conclusion, what are we called to be? Well, we're called to be ambassadors, right? We are called to be ambassadors. That's in Corinthians as well. And so what is an ambassador? But it's someone who represents a nation or an individual, and you and I have the highest calling because we represent our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What an honor. And yet, what a great responsibility. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, yes, we battle sin every day. And yes, we have fallen horribly many times. But the good news is that the Lord continues to clean out this temple that he has called to be his own. And this morning, we start anew. Every moment of our life, we start anew. Yes, we failed in the past, but here we are again. It's a fresh start. May we continue to grow as God's people. May we continue to grow as those living stones and be a significant part of the body of Christ with the gifts and talents that have been entrusted to us. May we truly reveal to others Christ who dwells within us. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.